I'm Amber.
And I'm Leslie, and you're listening to
The Grimmistics. Hi, friends.
Howdy, howdy. How's everybody doing?
Good, we hope.
Good, we hope. Amber, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Leslie?
Good, good. I'm good. Yeah. We're both 31 and thriving.
That is true. I called it, is 31 like officially in your 30s? Because there's like a number. So, you know, when you're 30, so in my mind, when you're 30, I'm 30. But when you're like, is it when you hit 31, are you in your 30s?
For sure.
Oh, see, that's what I was kind of feeling on my birthday. I was like, I'm officially in my 30s. Like, I can't say I'm a singular 30.
Right.
I'm now 31. So there are multiple 30s.
You're right. How do you feel? Do you feel, were you panicked? Were you just like another day?
I'm very much another day kind of birthday.
Yeah.
I don't do, you know, birthday parties usually. Mm-hmm. Like my husband, you know, DoorDashed me a meal on my like whatever I wanted. I got DoorDashed
because
I worked. I got Noodles and Company.
Delish. Oh,
the penne rosa, so good.
Delish. Okay, I love that.
Yeah, and then we just like hung out at home, and I hung out with Rav, and he taught her how to say happy birthday, so that was cute.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so cute.
So yeah, but nothing too crazy. I remember hyping up 30
mm-hmm.
pretty intensely when we went from 29 to 30. I was like, this is it. 20s suck. 20s were hard. 20 was learning and being with horrible people and learning horrible life lessons. Like 30s are where it's at. And I actually still fully am like on that mm-hmm. train. Like 30, I think every year has its tough points, obviously. But 30 30 was definitely more enjoyable than most of my 20s.
You know what? I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Because I kind of remember you had a little, like, you were a little like, oh, 30.
I think I just was, like, scared of growing up. But then it's just like, why? What am I scared of? Like,
yeah.
It's the tits growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like 30 is, like, the cusp of, like, officially not caring. In your 20s, you say you don't care, but, like,
you still
on
do.
The down low, you do. Mm-hmm. 30, like, I actually really don't care.
Just about, like, everything and anything. Love that.
Well, just, like, about judgment, let's call it that. Like I walk into a room and I'm like, here I am.
Oh, like, okay, you're not worried about like what others would think of you. That's good.
No, it's probably because I've already locked down a spouse and
right.
I know what I, you know, I have met some of my goals as an adult, like,
yes,
right. I don't care.
No, I think that's perfect. You have met those goals, like you mm-hmm. you said, you got it locked down. Like, what do you got to lose? And what do you care what some fucking little girl thinks of you?
Exactly. The teenagers still scare the living shit out of me, but
yeah, sometimes. But I think that's how it's always gonna be.
Yeah,
Taylor as old as time, you know.
Yeah. What did you guys do on your birthday?
Well, I'm a Leo. I mean, I know we're both Leos, but I wholeheartedly am a Leo for my birthday. And so we got out of Dodge. We went up the mountains a little bit, got some hot springs, just hung out, did some off-roading. Which I just, before we started recording, I looked at my Instagram and I got a partnership request.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great birthday and then we wrapped it up. We went to Larkspur and dressed as little fairy elves and had, the hot and sweated everything off and just mm-hmm. looked at all the amazing people, and it was a great birthday. It was a really good week. So
yeah, I think capping the week with the Ren Fair was a really fun idea. It definitely, it was my first time and it was your first time at in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Definitely an experience. before the podcast, we were definitely sitting down and game planning how to make next year even better.
We can make it way better. It was, yeah. We were rookies and yeah. It's, you know, it's all right. We got it out though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had so much fun. Honestly, like I just loved looking at everybody. Beautiful. Everybody like going all out, like
they just
it was just phenomenal. Stunning. And like the fact that it was so hot and people were walking around in cloaks and didn't even seem like they cared,
and like some of those guys were wearing like literal armor,
fur,
get the fuck out. They looked
I know,
amazing.
I know, but I asked Craig, I was, because he was like, oh, I should dress up as a knight, and I was like, do you think people do that, like with the whole knight garb? And he was like, they have to. And I was like, how hot are they? How miserable are they?
Hot. Well, on the shuttle, we had
it's like reflecty.
Yeah, we had a full-on night on the shuttle with us, and he was like,
oh my god,
clink clink clink. Like he was like fucking clinking around. So it's amazing though to see like,
yeah,
how much effort.
How into it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and creative too, because a lot of people are doing this, you know, from making it from home, stuff like that. I definitely did not feel the creative juices this year, so my stuff was purchased. But mine too. I was still excited. I only saw one person with my dress. Love. And she was a fun person. Like you met her in the bathroom line, her and her friend. Oh. Like, and her friend was talking about how you guys were like twins, and then I was like, oh my god, and I'm twins with your friend because we have the same dress on, just different colors.
The mushroom hat girl, I totally forgot about them. They were cute.
Yeah, they were sweeties.
They were fun.
Yeah. Okay. So but yeah, I think that is the best way to cap a birthday weekend. So oh, if you are yeah. a summer birthday person,
summer baby,
I would. Yep, I would definitely recommend checking out the Ren Faire. It was so fun.
Have lots of water, prepare to walk, and prepare to sit in traffic. Those are the three things that we were not prepared for.
Yep, those are the things we learned. If you are a Ren Faire pro, can you slide into our DMs and tell us how Please. To just make our next experience that much better? Like any tips, tricks for just like existing would be great.
It was a little stressful getting there. Mm-hmm. So any tips, tricks, we want them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we definitely are coming up with plans for next year. So.
And like, where do you guys go to the bathroom when you're driving for fucking 6 hours? Obviously, we weren't driving for 6 hours, but it was four.
It felt like
two. I mean, I think, what was it for? Actually, it might have been six, like a round trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Two and back.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely rough. So any tips also in like being comfortable with peeing in the wilderness? Because my husband and I both were having a hard time. My husband does not need tips on how to pee outside. He is skilled at that, but it's knowing that other people know what you're doing when mm-hmm. you're in traffic and you like run.
Well, Robbie like cut out, I had a water bottle and he like cut the water bottle for me, and I was like trying to pee in the back of the 4Runner, and I could not do that.
Craig at one point had said that he was gonna do that, and then I was just like, every bush I looked at I was like, oh, this is kind of covered, and then we'd go like half a wheel turn up the road and I was like, oh, it's not covered at all, like
no bushes.
Not from this angle. Yeah. And then we did the double door opening thing, mm-hmm. and we both got nervous about trying to do that. So really ours is just being comfortable with peeing when like we know other people are aware of it. And while we were walking to the Renaissance Fair, I don't think my husband appreciated my humor at the time, but I was like, what's sad is that we're really uncomfortable with peeing outside, and our ancestors did it all the time and didn't care.
They peed wherever they wanted to pee.
And like, we got pee shy and couldn't do it. So yeah. So if you could give us bathroom tips, that'd be great.
Only at the Ren Faire though. We're fine.
Yeah. We don't need to hear about it. Yeah.
I just wanted to specify.
There is modern plumbing in most places.
Thank God.
Well, this does kind of segue somewhat well
a bit, yeah.
into our topic today, because I actually have something here that says it's a spirit in Renaissance magic. So mm-hmm. when I saw the Renaissance word, I was like, oh, if we talk about the Renaissance Fair, I've got a beautiful segue. So
perf.
Leslie, this is something that you put on the list. I'm pretty sure. Okay. Want to tell everybody what we've planned on talking about today?
Today, tonight, this morning, we are talking about gnomes.
Gnomes.
No magic gnomes.
Do you know what do you remember? I know sometimes we remember why we put things on the list and sometimes we don't remember who put it on the list. But do you remember?
I do. And
oh, okay.
This is going to be so specific. And if if anyone is on this side of TikTok, let us know. Were you on the Knights versus the Gnomes TikTok?
I saw that in my research and I didn't click on it. So I didn't know what it was. I thought it was like a Dungeons and Dragons thing, to be honest.
I don't even know where it started. It just was like this trend on TikTok for a minute.
Okay.
And it was like, are you team knights or are you team gnomes? And people were making like digitally, you know, with like digital art, like battles of gnomes and knights or whatever. And it was like,
why didn't I click on this?
The wizards are getting involved and like, who are you supporting? And like, it was just like this whole thing on TikTok.
Oh, no, I was not on that side of TikTok.
I'll send you some. Definitely send some for the post too. But so that's what got me into it. Obviously everyone knows about gnomes, but it was the war that I was like, oh no, we should talk about gnomes.
okay. Yeah. Can I tell you what I thought it was going to be from? So a couple episodes back, and I'm so sorry, guys, I don't remember which episode, but it was a quick little, you threw it out there because you liked this podcast. I've since been hooked on it because you recommended it. Otherworld. And I started listening at the beginning of his episodes. So I don't know. I know you said you kind of jumped around a little bit.
I've listened to them all.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
So there was that, I can't remember their names now, but that couple that were Romani and they were travelers and they come from a traveler background and stuff like that. And he just quickly in his story, he wasn't talking about gnomes, but he brought up gnomes and he brought up like a garden gnome that his sister had gotten or someone in his life had gotten. And it was whispering at him from the trunk of the car.
Oh,
and they
God.
Actually pulled over and threw it off a bridge because he was like, this was a gnome spirit inside of a garden gnome. And I remember this as clearly as you remember your knights versus gnomes, because I was planning my garden at the time that I listened to this. And I found this really cute, like rocker gnome that I was going to get. And now I'm terrified to get a garden gnome.
See, all of mine research tonight, and I mean, I didn't like do a crazy amount, but none of them were like, I don't think they're mean, but your gnomes are mean.
What he recommended, he said that you shouldn't give any like offerings or anything like that because they're tricksters.
Yes.
And they're mischievous. And he said, so I remember him, and gosh, I wish I could remember his name. We'll have to do a link to the episode of Otherworld so you guys can listen. But he had said they're very mischievous, and if you give them offerings, it kind of turns into like if you give a mouse a cookie, like that book. He wants more and more and more. And he was like, honestly, other than like the tarot that he does and like the, you know, the breaking of spirits and that are tied to people, he said one of the main things he deals with is gnomes, because people go out and they buy an everyday garden gnome statue, but then they put this energy into the gnome and give it little offerings and give it a nice little home, and it actually awakens a gnome spirit, and it's almost like they take over your garden gnome and live in that.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
They're like little like possessed little goblins.
Yeah. And I'm not going to just throw a gnome out there. Like, it would have a cute little spot and it would have, I was planning on my rocker gnome having like all the amenities that he would need.
Well, yeah. Cause I kind of want a gnome too, but now you're saying that it's a bad choice, huh?
Okay. I don't know. He just said like, don't do offerings. And I'm like, well, how am I not supposed to do offerings if I'm offering it I want it to be happy in the place that I pick for it to live. That's an offering.
Well, and so like the research I found, they're like earth dwellers. So they're like all about gardening. So I was just thinking like, maybe if there's like a spirit to it, maybe I can, you know, if I give them lovies, then they'll love me and then they'll help me with my garden and get all the fucking grasshoppers away. That's what I hope.
Well, I mean, and that is what I found in my research too. Really, it's just like they want, what I found was they want nothing to do with humans.
Nope.
They are pretty content with what they do with the earth. And if you give them offerings, they're usually nice, but they are mischievous. So I feel like it's kind of like when you make a wish with a genie, you know, we learned this from Aladdin. You have to be very specific, because if you're not, there's a way for interpretation. Mm-hmm. And maybe the gnomes live, like, I'm thinking almost like a leprechaun too. Like these entities like live on the like unseen claws.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, and there are tricksters too, right? I always feel like mm-hmm. they're like mischievous too. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah. So there are some things I found out about the history. I know you said you have a little bit of history too. So I'm going to jump in, but please feel free mm-hmm. to like add your stuff too. I know I get on a roll sometimes.
And no.
Just keep going. So a gnome is a mythological creature and a spirit in Renaissance magic and alchemy, introduced by Paracelsus in the 16th century and widely adopted by authors including those of modern fantasy literature. The Grimm brothers wrote a story with Snow White, and it used to be Snow White and the Gnome. It was not Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It used to be Snow White and the Gnome, and then Disney did their own spin on it.
Losers.
I know. They just like jacked all of the Brothers Grimm stories and like made them a little user friendly.
Right, yeah. Made them happy, and the Brothers Grimm are like, no, bitch, we are sad. We want depressing things. Yeah, we want
to terrify the children.
Ariel murdered Eric. Yeah. We don't give a shit what she looks like. She's a fish.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Gnomes are typically small humanoids who live underground. Gnome characteristics are reinterpreted to suit various storytellers and artists. Lawn ornaments crafted as gnomes were introduced during the 19th century, and they grew in popularity during the 20th century. So what I love about looking up history of things is including like something like a garden gnome, like just the fact that it goes back to so like far. Early 1900s, and it's still something that we use today.
Well, and like, I mean, I found what you were saying about Paracelsus mm-hmm. too. Like, I mean, I just think that he brought that up in the 16th century, like, mm-hmm. How were they talking about these types of things if they didn't exist?
It's the dragons all over again. Literally, why is this a thing? Like, who is this creative person who just like looked at something and was like, no, like, no.
Yeah. And said that they live underground and can like move through soil and like, no, they're so it was specific.
Well, did you see, I saw something that said they move through soil like we move through air. Mm-hmm. So like literally it's not even
anything
for them. That tripped me out when I was reading that. I was like, because at first I was like, how are they walking through solid things? And then it said like we move through air, and it like totally sent me on this spiral where I was like, oh my God, we move through air.
But yeah, I mean,
I didn't even think about it that way.
Well, it's almost like they have like their own little like rooms just like we do, mm-hmm. but it's literally in the ground.
Oh, it's so crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah. So I did find too, the word came from Renaissance Latin, gnomus, which first appears in a book on nymph, slymph, pygmies, and salamanders and the other spirits by
Paracelsus. That one guy. Yeah,
that one guy. Published in Nysa in 1566.
That's a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, and that's a lot of words that I don't know how to say. let's see. It talks about how the earth-dwelling spirit has presidents in numerous ancient and medieval mythologies, often guarding mines and precious underground treasures, notably in the German dwarf and the Greek Schiebels. The gnome of Swiss folklore follow this template as well, and they are said to have caused landslides that destroyed the Swiss village of Plurs in 1618. The villagers had become wealthy from a gold mine created by the gnomes, who poured liquid gold down a vein for the benefit of the humans, and were corrupted by this newfound prosperity, which greatly offended the gnomes, so they caused a landslide to destroy the town.
That's interesting, because Parcellius is Swiss. Mm-hmm. He was a Swiss alchemist. So maybe.
So you did a little research on him, okay?
Mm-hmm. So like that's like, I feel like that's real. Like,
it's lining up, right?
It is lining up. So, great. So
this is why we like to do like half research for each of us, because we see what we find and then we're like, oh, these dots connect.
Like 1 + 1 = 2 and gnomes were fucking real. So
yeah, like we're already there. Okay, guys, that's the end.
10 minutes in, we already got it.
We figured it out. And then I did want to see here. So it's in literature, all that good stuff. There's a lot. I'm surprised there is so much information on gnomes. I'm on the Wikipedia page for gnomes, and it's like multiple
pages. It's stacked, like, for sure.
Yeah. So this is like a thing.
Well, and there's, and the gnomes are different, I feel like, depending on, like you said, like the Swiss gnomes or like the Celtic gnomes. I feel like the Mexican, you know, in like southern North America, they've got like duendes. Like, they're all different, but they're all fucking gnomes.
But they're all gnomes. Yeah. Again, it's the dragon argument.
Literally.
All over again. Literally. So, and what they're saying too is like they're. So here's where I saw a little bit of a debate, and that's kind of all I got on the history. I do have a little bit of history on garden gnomes that we can get to as well at some point. What I found too is like there's an argument really of like, are they living in a separate dimension or are they living at like the center of Earth?
Yeah, I just feel like they're living below us.
Me too. So I'm not getting the vibe, and maybe I'm wrong. I've heard stories and podcasts that I've listened to of like gnomes being able to transport through portals. You know, there are all those portals out in the woods and things like that that are just like magical ancient things. I have heard stories of like people being like, oh yeah, there are gnomes here as well. So I totally think that that's a thing. But I think that, like you said, they're mostly dwelling below us and they're only really going to a different dimension, like if they get called into jury duty or something. Like, I don't think they're like time hoppers like Bigfoot.
No, I don't think they're time hoppers. But I am curious if maybe they can, like, these portals that exist in the forest are just natural, right? By like what you kind of sent me today was just like about like the string theory and how like curses and whatnot are like real. I kind of just feel like those portals are real, right? That energy exists. And are they just maybe ancient enough or like magic enough or whatever adjective you want to use that they can just like see those portals more than we can? So that's they can just happen upon them easier than we do.
So I have to find, there was a podcast that I found because I was listening to Otherworld and I caught up and I was really disappointed and I didn't want to go back and re-listen to everything. And so I found them on Spotify, and this gentleman, his podcast is really interesting and I can't think of it right now. So I will have to add it into our show stuff afterwards because it's going to take me too long to look it up. But he only does a podcast a month.
Oh, wow.
But or 2 a month maybe, but he travels to these places. So this episode that I listened to was so good, and I actually sent it to an old coworker because it was based in an eye doctor's office. This eye doctor's office was haunted.
Oh my god.
And I was like, this is for me.
Literally.
And so it was like two parts. And it was really interesting because this eye doctor's office, what it was, is it was used to be a home. This eye doctor purchased it and transformed it into an eye doctor's office. It has this beautiful, like, it's on acreage. So like it's like very secluded and like it's very beautiful. And he brought this person that was a psychic that he was kind of like, he's very scientific, but not like boring scientific. Mm-hmm. He was like, I know the psychic who claims things. So I wanted mm-hmm. to bring her and not tell her anything that the staff told me the day before.
Perfect.
And I want to see what the psychic figures out. So it's like he was testing the staff and the psychic at the same bit. Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting because she could see things. And so there was this woman that people had seen that worked at the eye doctors. They'd come in and glasses would be, you know, flown off the wall and on yeah. the floor and all stuff. And she was just a woman who lived in the house in the early 1900s. And she just felt like she was protecting the home. Mm-hmm. But then the psychic was like, there are these portals. And she was pointing out specific trees. And she said exactly what you said, which is what got me on this tangent. She saw the portal. Like that was something that she could do in her skill set. And she said it was like she could see the aura Ooh. Of the portal. And it was like shimmery.
Yeah.
And she could see. I don't know how deep you get into this like type of stuff, but like she said she could see these types of spirits. So she could see gnomes and she's like, they're tricksters. They're playing with your stuff outside. she could see these giant tree spirits that were taller Ooh, than the house.
That's like, really cool.
She could see everything. And then apparently at one point, someone had done a spell on one of these portals and they locked it. So that's why this house got so much activity because
oh, they couldn't leave.
They couldn't leave. And so then he calls a witch from the area that he's also kind of testing. The witch didn't know anything about what the psychic said or the staff. And he saw a woman that was walking in and out of the eye doctor's office that was like protecting it. And she doesn't like men, so she wouldn't let him see her for very long, but she opened herself up to the female psychic. And he was still able to describe a little bit of what mm-hmm. the psychic saw. And then cool. he broke the bound curse. He broke that for them so that that portal could function both ways again. It was...
That's pretty fucking
crazy.
Cool.
Crazy. And like... Then I listened to the next episode and it wasn't like I wasn't as like drawn in as I was mm-hmm. with the eye doctor stuff.
Sure.
So I was like, this is good, but I'm like too hyped about this specific story
this one.
To give your shit a chance.
Well, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting.
I did find the name of the podcast. Hold on.
Oh,
I thought because I sent it. Dismiss. I don't want to play it. The Night Owl. True Ghost Stories.
The Night Owl. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So find it on Spotify. It's where I found it. But
okay.
So what you're describing with these portals, like these spirits can find them easy peasy, kind of like you said, the ancient thing. But there are some people who are human that just have these gifts.
So I do feel like when we were talking about in the tarot episode mm-hmm. and how I said, you know, I say as is above, as is below.
Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of evolved. I just feel like it's maybe telling me that we don't need to pass. Like if we want these abilities and these skills, it's available to us here just as mm-hmm. it is there, just as it is there. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be open and willing and
yeah.
practice.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. You know.
I had my first Reiki session a couple weeks ago and it was very nice. I liked the woman that did it. She they hired her at my hair salon, so now they have a Reiki studio at my hair salon, and I'm like, oh my god, self-love.
Perfect. No, it's perfect.
But she kind of said the same thing, like it's a muscle. All mm-hmm. of this is a muscle. And she even said trusting your gut is a muscle, and if you don't listen to your gut, then you're not exercising that muscle, and then your body starts to ignore it, and it's like
mm-hmm.
it's like your abs. The less you use your abs, the harder it is to do a sit-up. The less you listen to your gut, the harder it is for your body to recognize it and hear it. And you hear all of these amazing stories about using this. Like, I think you're 100% correct. I think you just like, you have to just allow it and unlock it. And it takes a lot of practice. This is not mm-hmm. like this level of psychic. Like,
I'm not there. Just for the record.
No.
Yeah, definitely cannot do that. So.
I'm not even in kindergarten compared to that woman.
No.
But I'm not naive enough, just like I'm not naive enough to think that we're the only things in this universe. I'm not naive enough to think that that's all fake because I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That woman had done, she was born into a family of psychics. Like she had
so
been
cool.
taught this mindset since she was a kid. Like,
mm-hmm.
And these it's skills, just out yeah. there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that they, I think it was out there a lot more until like witch trials started.
Yeah.
Then it was hidden and it wasn't good to have that. And then when stuff like that, you know, gets hidden from generation to generation, you lose the muscle. You lose the knowledge of how to work that muscle.
Well, and like not blaming anyone, but it's just like you're told, I was told that it's not real, that it's fake. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some people, you know, I grew up in a very religious household and it wasn't even like, this is the devil's work. It just was like, it's not even real. Like the, mm-hmm. the Salem witch trials, you know, I was literally taught as a child, like they were just women that these girls didn't like who just picked on them. And that's probably mm-hmm. what it was. But like, it just was like, no, they weren't witches. Like there, that's no, there's no such thing.
It wasn't a thing.
They mm-hmm. were just being targeted for whatever mm-hmm. reason. I mean, mm-hmm. and very well could have been, but some of those women also may have been practicing as well. Like,
yeah,
you know, you just, but.
Well, and I think what's so interesting, and like we can get back on gnomes for a second. Right, this is a tangent, but I think they're all linked.
It's all mythical. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you're seeing it more too. There's like an awakening happening. And I think something that happens is people look for more spiritual understanding when the world is as chaotic as it is right now. We need something of a higher something to make us feel in control, to make us feel like we are not at the whim of these question marks that are in power. Like, we need something. And I think it's really interesting because like, if you look back at like those trials, like it was when Protestants were cracking down really hard on what they thought was the right way to live. And if you stepped out of line at all, you were the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I think these awakenings happening, I think that they're naturally in all of us. And it's almost just like how our temperature changes because of how our planet's being treated. I think yeah. deep down, our inner knowledge, those abilities that we might have, they wake up when we're in danger. And I think that that's kind of what's happening too. I think right now, like we need to tap into that stuff just to protect ourselves.
Well, and I think we have more control and power over our lives than we mm-hmm. allow ourselves to, or that we think, you know, and mm-hmm. I just think it's all connected. I mean, it's not that they're like purposefully trying to dampen our sparkles or, you know, what whatever, but I mean, it's like they want power. So they're not going to educate us on these abilities. Mm-hmm. They're not going to tell us that this shit is even possible. When like the CIA has like said, no, like psychics are real, like mm-hmm. string. I mean, again, like string theory has literally proven that like curses and good intentioned spells and what have you, it like is literally proven with science. Mm-hmm. And we've yeah. just been told it's all a bunch of like hooey fooey fake bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Yeah. Well, because so. It's easier to control the powerless than right. give the powerless hope that there's power out there. So
exactly.
Back to gnomes. This is tied together. You know, it's a little off there, but so I love what you found. You said you found a little bit more about like their mysticalness. So what's something that you found that you wanted to share?
Well, I also, like you said, looked at Paracelsus or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just was seeing that like, yeah, they're definitely stubborn, but they were always brave. Is how they were described, which I think is so sweet, in that they are literally here. They're a part of the earth. Mm-hmm. And so it's, for me, it's like, I actually do feel like this is honestly probably real. I do feel mm-hmm. like there's probably creatures that live in the earth and are, I mean, they're a part of it, literally mm-hmm. a part of our planet, which I just thought was really cute. And so then I just looked up like legend, gnome legends, the mm-hmm. kings, you know, like, the leaders of the gnomes. I found two. I found one, the Dutch king. His name is Kiri. Mm-hmm. And there's literally like, he's got statues in, it's called North Brabant. I don't know. I probably totally just fucked that over, but, he lived on Gnome Mountain, also known as the Devil's Mountain. Mm-hmm. And is basically lives in a forest. His gnomes were helpful creatures who helped the farmers, kind of like what you were saying in the Swiss gnomes, what have you. They came by night and did not want to be seen by people. If you did see them, if people did see the gnomes, they would punish you. So I guess this is maybe where they get mischievous. One of the farmers basically said that one of the gnomes thought that they were spying on him, and so they came back and blinded one of his eyes as punishment.
Oh my god. See,
that's pretty fucked up.
Like, and but I guess I get, so maybe they're just like, they're real hard asses. Like, if we lived in a world where all of these like spirits and humans and all live together, they'd be the cops.
Yeah, it's a doggy dog.
The gnomes would, yeah, the gnomes would be the cops, and they would want, you know, black and white justice. You spy on me, I take one of your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't spy on me if you are blind. So,
And if they take one eye versus two, it makes life actually way harder.
Well, and it, you know,
like, blind is hard. I'm not like trying to say that that's easy, but like one eye, you just like totally like you fuck up your balance.
Your you depth, you, perception,
yeah, your
is
depth
gone.
Perception's off. Like, life's not fun with one eye.
it's over with. That's so funny. Well, Kiri was killed by a hunter, so that's sad.
Oh,
and he was their king. So, yeah, they just basically, and that's like part of folklore. And I don't, where's Dutch? I don't. It's not Dutch. Like, what's
Deutschland?
Is that what it is? It's
well,
Dutch.
How they say it in Dutch.
Like, what?
Where country? Is Dutch.
The Netherlands.
Ah.
They're fun. They're good people.
Oh, it's like a language. Oh, Dutch is a language.
Oh,
Dutch
is
spoken in many places, including the Netherlands. 96% of the population. Belgium. Huh.
Okay, well, Kiri is in the Netherlands. I just scrolled
got
down.
Got it.
North Brant is for sure. So we're good there.
Said the right answer.
So yeah, he was dead, and that's sad. And ever since he died, no one had ever heard of those gnomes ever again in that town. They never came back to help the farmers. Mm. They never came and did anything.
I mean, I get that. Like, even though the farmers might not have killed their king, like, why are you gonna help the same area that there was a hunter? Like,
yeah, for sure.
That's okay. So now, like, maybe the mischievous is more so they just see the world in black and white.
Yeah, probably.
They just see it as black and white. If you're gonna kill our king, we're not gonna help you anymore.
Right.
Like, they're not wishy-washy. They're very set. Like, they're there to help as long as you're taking it appropriately and you're not getting too greedy. And if it's a harmonious living cycle, if they have their boundaries set and no one crosses them, but the second a boundary is set or something happens, they're done. They're
You're
the
dead
king.
To me.
They're the kings and queens of cutting people out.
I almost am curious, too, if they almost like don't really give a fuck about people, but their sole purpose is to help the land and farm the land, and so they're like, "You're just profiting off of my what's
they're
in
like
my DNA.
I need to do this to make the land happy. I don't really care that you're happy because the land
you're just
is happy.
Benefiting it. Yeah. And so
that makes sense.
But that's kind of sad though. If legend says that once Kiri died and they all left, they're like abandoning
their land
home. Yeah. Which is sad.
Yeah. Aww. But I mean, if your leader's not there and you actually like your leader, would you want to?
Right. You're right. So there's Kiri. That's sad. And then the other, gnome king that I found was Gob. And there's
I like this already.
I know, I like Gob too. He's in a lot of books. He's in a book called The Gnome and the Threat to the Forest. And he's Gob the Gnome, Gob in the Drought. I mean, he's around a lot in literature. I found him in I can never say this word, Britannica.
Oh, that's a good one.
I had to say that out loud. And so he has his own, like, Britannica, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gob, he was just the king of the gnomes. He ruled with magic. He had a sword and basically was said to control the temperament of men.
Oh.
So they like men. They don't really like women is what I saw. They like men.
You know what I saw? In my research, there's someone who claims that there are no female gnomes. They're all male.
So I wonder how they repopulate.
So how, I know, according to this person on TikTok. So they are said to be born from flower buds.
Oh.
So they kind of, you know, plop out of a flower bud, and then they use the flower as their little hat. A lot of them are called red caps because there are a lot of red flowers and were a lot of the places that gnomes were, you know, found. And then that the flower is actually what they use to hide themselves. So when a person is walking by, they flip the cap so it looks like a flower and they're able to hide. How pretty much be naked, that? Be invisible to the naked eye.
Oh my God, I love that.
So it kind of makes sense if they're, you know, more focused on men's temperament because they're a masculine spirit. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that cute? And I like that. I mean, I like that that's what the wives' tale is because, like, they're grown from the land that they want to nourish and have be successful. I think that's adorable. That's really the only way you could get a creature to care about something if it's literally born from it.
Yeah.
So
I like that. That's really sweet.
Yeah. So anything else about Gob? He carried a sword around. He handled the men's temperament.
Yeah, that was about it. That's all I got.
Oh, so he wasn't killed and the gnomes didn't abandon.
Not that I didn't read any of the books that he's mentioned in. Like I said, there's quite a few. But no, that was all I got.
I like it.
Yeah, I like Gob too. He's cute. There's lots of children's books about him too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gob and the Busy Bees. We should get some
for Ravioli.
Yeah, that would be cute. Like Gob, he like helps the bees and they're like that's another thing. They're all pro earth, which I like that.
Of course. So. Yeah. Well, and I think it's pretty cool too cuz like so Leslie and I are getting a little bit like dipping our toe into astrology. Definitely not something that I feel like I can't even look at my birth chart and begin to understand it.
I want to so bad.
Me too. And I just feel like I should have started studying years ago. I'm so behind.
It's so confusing. I know. Yeah. It's so hard.
But what I was finding interesting is the little bits and pieces I've been really holding on to and learning about with astrology. My like starting point is like how they're all associated with an element. So the fact that they're associated with the earth element, what is being described is pretty spot on with like the earth element, like astrology, like very down to earth, very like justice is justice, black and white mindset, like very helpful and cautious, very good at setting boundaries is what I've seen for earth signs. Like
interesting,
very, very on point. And like I did see in some of my research, and I didn't save this page, unfortunately, but there are other creatures or spirits that are like the gnomes for the other elements. And it's actually touched on in Frozen 2.
Oh yeah, it is. I've only seen Frozen 2 once.
Yeah, so the fire is a salamander, and that is in I think it's a Swedish or a Dutch
folklore. Talked about salamanders.
No, so maybe that's where I saw it. But yeah, so that's the fire representation of the fire spirits is a salamander.
So you're telling me we need to go get salamanders.
I mean,
you had one, remember? You had a gecko.
I had a lizard, yes.
He was cute.
Littlefoot was adorable. He had an okay life with me, but a much better life with the person that I gave him to. I think for me, their living style is obviously humid and like tropical. Yeah. And that leaves a smell. No matter what you do, no matter how many candles you have, my room smelled tropical.
Yeah,
and not
for sure.
In like a Mai Tai kind of way, like
in a tropical,
like a swampy kind of way.
That's a good point. Okay, so no salamanders.
But it is kind of interesting to know too that, again, string theory, it's all connected,
literally all of it.
Like all of the things that are a lot of the things that are used in astrology to identify the signs is also being talked about as a gnome being an earth spirit.
Do we believe in coincidences? No.
So no. It's definitely cute. And I don't know if they would enjoy being called cute, but that's what I'm going to call them.
Do you think they're just like grumpy old men?
Yes. Which is what I get along with, honestly. Oh, thrive. I thrive. Like, I used to work, I worked with a lot of retired men at an outdoor job mm-hmm. when I was in college, and they were
we've just talked doing about the it
job to get extra money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thrive with that personality type because I'm sarcastic enough that they think I'm funny, but I'm also like cute and ditzy enough that they're like, oh, this cute she's little girl. So cute. Yeah. I like ride that cusp very well.
There you go. Yeah. I don't get along with them, but I just will think they're cute from afar.
Yeah. How's that? But either way. Yeah. I just feel like I could vibe with a gnome. Like, I actually do feel like if I'd respect their boundaries, but if they wanted to like exist around me, I wouldn't do anything to make them uncomfortable.
Not at all.
So
are you going to get a gnome? Do you think you're going to?
Well, after reading all, I'm going to do the garden gnomes history. And after reading perfect. Like, okay. I do want one.
That's right. I forgot we got the garden gnome history. Okay.
Yes. So if you have a garden or a front yard, you are likely familiar with the popular garden ornament known as the garden gnome. That is what I found by Jennifer Wilbur on owlcation.com. Wow. This is from October 2023, so pretty recent.
Very recent.
Though you may have never considered the origin of these whimsical little tchotchkes. That's my favorite word.
How do you spell tchotchkes?
Oh my gosh. To the naked eye, wouldn't have known this was tchotchkes. It's tchotchkes.
Oh my gosh. I would have
known. And I said tchotchkes after reading it once. I didn't even have to practice.
Look at you. Nice. You said it so many times.
I know, because it's my favorite word. These miniature statues have a long and mysterious history. Garden gnomes as we know them today have only been manufactured in the last 2 centuries, but earlier versions of these garden guardians have been living in gardens for up to hundreds of years. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely hundreds.
Hundreds. So we already talked about what gnomes are, so I can go ahead that. Okay, early gnome-esque statuary. The earliest statuary forerunners of the modern garden gnome are arguable the... I don't know. The grammar. No offense, Jennifer. So they were found in gardens in ancient Rome.
Oh, that's cool.
In ancient Rome, wealthy landowners would place statues of their gods in their sprawling gardens. The main god depicted in this way was Propius, a minor fertility god who was thought to be a protector of livestock, fruit, plants, gardens, and male genitalia.
Oh my god. Okay.
Very widespread. These statues the Romans thought would protect the garden from evil spirits, bring good fortune, and pave the way for prosperous futures.
Okay.
During the Renaissance, the wealthy often placed stones called grotesques in their garden to bring good fortune. As the name suggests, these figurines were made to be purposely ugly and disfigured looking. These statues were typically garnishly painted and stood as 1 meter tall figurines. Oh. A popular type of these figurines was called gobbi, which means hunchback in Italian.
I did see a lot of them were hunchbacks.
Mm-hmm. By late 1700s, small statues known as house dwarves became popular household decorations in Germany and Switzerland.
Oh.
These figurines were generally made of wood or porcelain and looked similar to the modern garden gnome. In Germany, these statues became associated with folk tales and superstitions surrounding the little folk or dwarves that many people believed help humans in the mines, on the farm, and around the home.
Okay.
The first true garden gnome was made by a German sculptor from the town of Grafenrode, named Philip Greibel, is credited for creating the very first true garden gnome in the 19th century, which featured the iconic red gnome hat that we are familiar with today. Greibel began his sculpting career making and selling terracotta busts of animals. He eventually expanded his business to making statues of miniature mythical creatures known as gnomes, as the locals believed that these beings helped them in their gardens. Perhaps local gardeners believe the ceramic statues would attract the real thing. Mm? So you were on the right, mm-hmm. you're on the right wavelength. With or without real-life gnomes, many believe these statues would protect gardens and homes from evil spirits or other dangers. The popularity of garden gnomes quickly spread from Germany to France, Poland, and England. Let's see. Terracotta gnomes. Oh. In 1847, Isham purchased 21 terracotta gnomes from Greibel and brought them back home to England. One of these garden gnomes, known as Lampy, still survives.
Lampy?
That's got to be mythical. How do you keep a garden gnome from 1847?
You don't. I've been Googling because I want to see all these pictures. So I'm looking up Lampy right now. That's okay. The cutest fucking name I've ever.
Yeah, because they don't have Lampy, so.
Lampy the gnome.
Oh, wait. Yes, they do. A replica of Lampy. I do have a picture of a replica.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
Yeah.
He does look like a fucking creep, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
He does give me creepy fucking vibes.
Yeah. I don't know if I would put Lampy in my garden.
No, I just love his name.
Soon they became so popular, he stopped making other types of garden statues and specialized only in garden gnomes. Though there are now other manufacturers creating similar gnome garden statues, Greibel's business continued to expand. Okay, so then, of course, like any popular thing, there's a rise and a fall. Garden gnomes began to fall in popularity during World War One, and that makes sense. You're not buying garden decorations.
I don't give a shit about that.
A war. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Eventually, however, garden gnomes began to regain some of their popularity with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, aired in the 1930s. Due to the physical similarities to garden gnomes and the Seven Dwarfs, as the economy began to recover, more working class families were able to make unnecessary purchases, such as garden ornaments. Unsurprisingly, the popularity of garden gnomes began to fade again at World War II. Many manufacturers had to cease production of the garden statues at this time. They started gaining popularity once again in the 70s, when manufacturers began to introduce more humorous designs for their garden gnome statues. Modern gnomes are now mass-produced, and many are now made from plastic. The newer mass-produced gnomes tend to be of lower quality than the original handmade garden gnomes. Well, that's just hurtful.
Okay. Right? Like, gee, way to call me out.
The figurines gained more notoriety in the 1990s due to the traveling gnome prank. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so I didn't do it with a gnome, but my mom and I did it with another garden statue. So I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you about that. So a prankster would steal a garden gnome and then send the owner photos of the gnome from various vacation destinations before eventually returning it.
I love that so much.
So this is honestly, it caused a spike in sales.
Well, yeah, everybody
because everyone was like, steal my gnome,
take it on vacation. That's so cute.
So my mom and I did this. We did it as a retaliation. So you've met my mom's friend, Kathy, from the Midwest. So my mom had these, she was really into party light back in the day. She had party light parties. We used to have cabinets full of candles and stuff like that. And so we had these two little terracotta, actually colored figurines. One was a frog and one was a turtle. And you put a tea light in their back.
Oh, cute.
The frog got kidnapped at one of... my mom's party light parties.
Okay.
And we didn't notice that the frog was gone. And all of a sudden we get pictures of the frog in the mail. And it was like for years.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
It was for years.
That's the funniest shit I've ever heard. Were you guys like creeped out or was it like funny?
No, because my mom knew where it was Kathy like she knew Kathy was going on vacation. So it was between Kathy and Cindy. So I think they were sharing the frog and taking pictures of it. And they're both from the Midwest. So we had a really hard time figuring out who it was. So then my mom and we went over to Kathy's house and we borrowed. I think the statue of limitations is over. And I don't know if Kathy listens to the podcast. But we borrowed, she had a wiener dog figurine.
Oh, that's perfect.
So we took that. And then I remember there was a day where me and my babysitter went around town and took pictures of the, like, I took it to the old Penguins ice cream shop across from the lake.
How fun.
I took it there and took pictures. There was a little park over there. We put it in a swing. Yeah. So we did the same thing.
That is so fun.
And then for us, one day the frog just showed back up, and I don't think to this day either of them have admitted who did it. Oh, and then did the same thing with the wiener dog. We just kind of snuck it back to their house. Day.
That is so funny. I've never heard of that before. That's so funny.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, I want to get a gnome for sure. So someone steal my gnome.
I'm feeling a little bit better after our research. I think that the gentleman on the Outer World podcast just scared the heck out of me that he said he could hear a gnome speaking. But maybe, like, he's more connected in that world. So, like, they might come to him.
They might come to him. I just feel like everything, it's all about the energy that you put out. And if I let my gnome know, like, hey, I'm really fucking cool, just take care of my garden. Like, you got a home here. I'm not giving you gifts, but, like, you know.
Well, and I think that's where it happens, is, like, the gift giving. Once you start, like, making offerings. And I think that goes across the board. If you're making offerings to a deity, to anything like that, you need to be very clear with your intentions and clear with you what you want to do, just to avoid that maybe backfiring.
I agree.
So, but yeah, that's all I found on gnomes.
This was fun. No, that's all I got too. This was perfect. It's just something nice and light, and I'm gonna go get a gnome.
You know, I do you want that to be our Christmas gifts to each other? should we get gnomes? Each of us, but should we pick out like the gnome that like fits with the personality?
Oh, so perfect.
Like you pick a gnome that makes you think of me, and I'll do the same for you.
Perfect. I'm in.
Okay, so for Christmas we'll exchange our gnomes.
Oh my god, I'm so in. One, Lampy has been on my phone this whole time, and I'm starting to feel like maybe I want Lampy. He is fucking terrifying, but part of me wants him.
You know, it's just, I think what it is, it's that old school vibe where everything is slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, because everything's homemade, so it's not perfect. So like his eyes are a little like droopy. Follow-y.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, it's just kind of like the same when like you see like the 1900s toys and you're just like,
this is terrifying.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it is. It's the homemade effect.
You know what? I give homemade effects to pretty much everything that I touch. So
yeah,
me same. And Lampy will just, I'll keep Lampy out front and he'll scare away everybody. It'll be perfect. Oh, and then I'll put your gnome in the back.
I do love that.
Okay.
I do.
I'm in.
Yeah. I wonder if you could buy like a Lampy replica.
Yeah. I saw the article that I found. There are a bunch. I do see the original where he looks fucking, he's definitely a little.
Yeah. That's the one that that I ended up finding. So
I think that is the original. And I think.
I'll
just take a replica.
That's what I don't understand. Is how Lampy has survived since the 1800s.
Because like, he is a gnome.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. It might be hard to find.
Oh, no.
Oh, here. We found one on Etsy that says it's rare, which probably means it isn't. Oh, they're sold out.
Oh,
you know what? We just have to go to England.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Because they sell Lampy as like a tourist.
Oh, perfect.
Gift. This Etsy's from England.
Okay, well, we will head to England.
Yeah, here. So instead of getting those, is it the Union Jack hats that everyone used to get in the 90s? Like the big, tall?
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, instead of getting that, we'll just get a Lampy replica.
Perfect. We'll just get Lampy. Home.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right, trip to England, planned.
The gnomes we're getting, planned. We're in.
Done. We've got so many plans coming up.
Oh my god, who's gonna fund it?
We'll never know. Yeah, I just need another possible sugar daddy to slide into the DMs.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Pay our bills.
until then. Sharing is caring, so if you find our podcast enjoyable, share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it with your open-minded grandma. Share it with whoever you'd like, who you think would enjoy listening to this. Because we've said it time and time again, but word of mouth, the best way for us to grow in our podcast. And we've seen it grow quickly. We've seen it grow quickly in the last couple of months, and we want to keep the momentum. So please share us if you enjoy us. And We appreciate everybody who has shared us in the past, who continues to share us when we ask for that. We got to keep trucking.
Yeah. You know the drill. Like, subscribe, 5-star review. Mm-hmm. We like all the love. So please.
We do have a TikTok. If you want to engage with our TikTok, the Grim Mystics Pod, that is the most helpful. I know there are pros and cons for TikTok, but small business growth, TikTok is the reason that a lot of small businesses thrive. So please, if you could interact with that, that would help substantially.
Definitely. So, and all of our social media is always linked. So you can find it wherever you're listening.
Yeah.
So great episode.
Thank you. You
good too. Research. Thank you. Final thoughts. We're getting gnomes and they're fucking real. The end.
Yeah. Adorable.
And on that note, we will spook you next Tuesday.
Bye. That was good.